you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know how I'm supposed to talk after that. Welcome to Serenity Church Easter, baby. Right on. What a special night. God. Huh? That was awesome, guys. That was awesome. I still am having a hard time composing myself. Hang on a minute. Let me just pray for a second. Lord in heaven, I thank you. I thank you that dead things come alive. I thank you that you gave your son so that we could live forever. Lord, help us tonight focus on that fact that because you came, we can live. And you make dead things come alive. Amen. Okay. Baptisms. We're going to have some baptisms. Luke and Jessica, y'all come up. Come on up. Come over here. As we're doing that, they're going to pass the giving baskets through the congregation here. And like I say every week, we have this Tithely app that you can get on, and it sure helped me and Trina because we were inconsistent. and so if you're like me and inconsistent, that'll help a lot. But we need your help with ship rides and some of the other things that we do. And so if you got a little bit, throw it in there. The other thing I want to mention is that next week, Pastor John Featherston will be back here. And he's going to be wrapping up, he's going to give a sermon wrapping up the 40 days of prayer that we've done with our prayer beads. And so he'll be here next week with that message. So if you've been like me, I've been using the heck out of this thing. And I've seen some absolute miracles come true this month. And it come to fruition. And just like he gave us what we needed. And so I know that next week he's going to talk about the 40 days ending, but I've also heard the message, and we don't have to stop. So be here for that message. It's going to be really good. So we're going to go ahead and get on with this. Come here, Luke. This is my buddy Luke. And man, I've grown to love him really, really fast. He goes to our meetings and bears his soul. And last week he shared in the meeting that it's time to step up and put childish things away and start being a man. And then after that meeting, we stepped outside and he goes, part of that is me burying the old me. And I said, we can do that Saturday. And he went, yes! So jump on in there, my man, and we'll get this thing going.
About as cold as it looks.
All right. So Luke, I'm going to ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ came, walked around here on the earth, and jumped up on a cross for you so that you could live forever?
Yes, I do.
You believe that he is your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
Because of your confession, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost. Hold your nose, or I'll drown you. Yeah, Bubba.
Thank you. And my wife's pregnant, by the way. We found out last week.
I wasn't going to let that cat out of the bag, but he did, so that's cool. All right.
Awesome.
And this is my friend Jessica, and she is pregnant.
Yeah.
And she's overcoming Luke.
Yeah.
We're so glad you're here.
Thank you.
If you'll jump on in.
Yeah.
told you I was going to warm it up for you. And Jessica, you believe that Jesus Christ came, walked around here on the earth for a little while, and then he jumped up on a cross just for you.
Yes, sir.
You make him your Lord and Savior.
Yes, absolutely.
And because of your confession, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Woo! That's what I'm talking about. What better way to start it, huh? What better way to start it? So obviously, when you walked in, you probably saw the little white thing, the white ribbons, or no, they're not even ribbons. It's just material. And then, of course, the cross. And so what I was noticing during this Easter season is the different denominations decorating their cross. If you don't have a bulletin or a Bible and you want one of them, you can go ahead and get one of them. There's no fill in the blanks, but there is a place that if you want to write some stuff down. But what I noticed was the different denominations and the different colors that they would put on the cross. See, the title of this message is Colors on the Cross. But I wondered why. Why do you see these different colors draped over the cross during this season? And so I did a little research. I Googled it. And it says these colors typically covering the cross on the altar or as a drape change to help worshipers focus on events in Jesus' life. So I thought tonight we will walk through the major event in Jesus' life. And obviously, the first color we have on the cross is red. And why red? Red is the symbol of blood. It's the symbol of salvation. And I always wondered why. Why? It just seems gross. Why blood? What does blood have to do with forgiveness? And so I looked in Leviticus 17. In Leviticus 17:11, it says, "This is because the life of the body is in the blood. And I have given you rules for pouring that blood on the altar to remove your sins, so you will belong to the Lord." This is God speaking. Listen to this. "It is the blood that removes the sins because it is life." So what does that mean? It means that there's a price for sin. See, the price for sin is death. That's what it cost. We deserve to die. We can't make ourselves right. So back in, this is Old Testament. And this is Old Testament law that was given by God. And so if you'll look back at in the beginning of chapter 17, this goes all the way back. This is Moses and all those people that came out of Egypt. And he told him, God told him, you must bring animals to the priest and offer them as sacrifices. See, I was looking at that and I was still like, you're bringing an animal, but what the priest would do is kill this animal and then sprinkle the blood of the animal on the Lord's altar. So it wasn't a human life that was lost. It was an animal. So blood still had to spill. So he just decided that you can use an animal, otherwise we'd all be dead. Right? We're not a worthy sacrifice. And so back in those times, those animals that were sacrificed had to be pure. They had to be perfect. or they weren't able to be sacrificed. So do you realize how much blood that is? We're talking about Moses and all those people that he led out. I was up here one time and I was talking about, you know, how I always just thought, you know, I know that story and I just thought it was a little group and it's 12 tribes and there's probably 15 or 20 people in each tribe. Was not the case. I looked it up and did a little more research. Thank you, Google. 600,000 men, not including women and children. 600,000. Can you imagine the blood? I was like, okay, well, maybe they did that once a year or something. But still, if they did it once a year, how much blood is that? No. They did this daily. They did it weekly. They did it monthly. Continually blood spilling because we continually sin. And so the only way they had to be forgiven of those sins on a regular basis is to spill blood on a regular basis. See, I read at the dedication of Solomon's temple, 142,000 animals were sacrificed. 142,000 animals. These priests were just butchers, you know? I've heard theologians talk about that and stuff and how the priests used to be, they would just be absolute from head to toe covered in blood. And blood would just be running out into the street. There was so much blood. That's just crazy. But a price had to be paid. And I always thought, like, well, why can't God just, like, forgive us? Because for forgiveness, there's a price. Let's just say somebody wrongs you. They take something from you. They hurt you in some way. And you just forgive them. You assume that payment. You assume that pain. See, God, He don't assume it. There has to be a price. Some blood has to be spilled. A life for forgiveness. And so, how did we get to Jesus being the once and for all time? In Hebrews, it says, Hebrews 10, it says, "Then he said, look, I have come to do what you want." God ends the first system of sacrifices so he can set up a new system. There's going to be a new system. So if we're not sacrificing animals, what are we sacrificing? And because of this, we are made holy through the sacrifice Jesus Christ made in his body once and for all time. Once. There's no more of this weekly. There's no more of this monthly bloodshed. One time, the pure and holy Lamb of God. One time. And we don't have to do all that other stuff with all these different animals and bloodshed because he did it once. So what happened? If you'll look in your Bible to Matthew 26, see, this was a whole plan. Because I thought, reading through this, well, why didn't he just chuck and jive and dodge it? Then Matthew 26, he was arrested. Matthew 27, Jesus stands before Pilate. And Pilate tries to free him. He went through several different trials that night, all illegal. Pilate tried to free him. Pilate's wife was like, "You better not participate in this at all." And he literally washed his hands of it. And he said, I'll give you, he had a little plan. He said, I'll give you one of these other guys that needs to go to the cross because I don't see any fault in this man. So he thought, surely they won't want me to turn Barabbas loose. He's a killer. And what the people said is, no, give us Barabbas and crucify him. They shouted it, crucify him. Crucify that man. It was all part of the plan, though. He didn't fight it. It was what he was sent here to do. He begged his dad if there was another way. And obviously he said, nope, there's no other way. See, in Matthew 27, 26 and 31, after they set Barabbas free, they took Jesus. And the soldiers that beat him with whips. And then they handed him over to be crucified. I bring this stuff with me every year during this time. This is something of what it kind of looks like. It's called a cat of nine tails. You see, there's stuff with teeth in it. There's metal, all kinds of different bones. And what they would do when they whipped a person with this is stick it into them. And when it stuck into them, then they would pull it. They whipped him 39 times because, like I said last week, they figured out that 40 most of the time killed a person. So they whipped him 39 times with something like this, sticking it all into his back and pulling the flesh off. And then they put a purple robe on him. Then I saw these different denominations with different colors on the cross. They put a purple robe on him to make fun of him, mock him. Ha ha, hell, King of the Jews! Wrapped a robe around him, a purple robe. But guess what? He was royalty, and he is. King of the Jews. Well, a king is supposed to have a crown, right? They made a crown for him. It looked like this. I bring this out every year when I do this. And my dad made this a long time ago, and he lets me use it. And before he made it, he did a little bit of research to find out just exactly what kind of tree and what kind of thorns maybe were on that thing. And this is what he came up with. Can you imagine that being shoved down onto your head? That would go all the way to your skull. And when they did it, he bled. Blood had to be spilled. And it was. And then they took sticks and beat him with sticks. They spit on him. They pulled his beard out. I can't imagine that. It's been said that you could not tell that it was a human by the time they were done. Like, he did not look human. Then they led him away. They led him up the hill to Calvary to be crucified. When they got to the top, they laid him down on a cross. I don't know exactly what they looked like, but it says they nailed his hands and feet. I figured it'd probably be something pretty big, you know, to go through your hands and go through your feet to be able to hold you up on a cross. And they drove him. They drove him straight through his hands. Then they put his feet together. We're only going to use one. Three nails. And he hung there. Till he died. Mark 15:37 says, then Jesus cried out in a loud voice and died. What did he say? Tetelestai. The price has been paid. The price has been paid. See, the black represents death and mourning. There was people that were mourning his death. I was talking with Logan, my son-in-law, just the other day. And it was at the crawfish boil. And he was talking about how he saw his daughter and remembered back when she was little and watching her grow and all the different things she's doing. And then he said he imagined Mary looking at her son. And I said, yeah, man, she held him. She fed him a bottle and all that. There was people mourning his death. Mark 15, verse 46. Joseph bought some linen cloth. And he took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in linen. He put the body in a tomb, and they rolled a very large stone to block the entrance. In Mark 16, on the first day of the week, 3 days after Jesus' death, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, went to the tomb. And the stone was rolled away. It was open. The tomb was open. They looked inside and they saw an angel and said, hey, I know who you're here for, but guess what? He ain't here, man. He's gone. He's not here. And then Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. And then he appears to his followers. And he appears to Doubting Thomas. We give him that name because you know what? He's like, prove it. I'm with Trina. I can't just like, it's unbelievable. A man that I saw crucified, bleeding from his entire body, is standing before me, white as snow, not bleeding. Jesus had to convince him somehow, and he says, stick your fingers in the holes where they drove the nails through. And Thomas said, it's John 20, verse 28, because it's pretty important. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God, you're alive. Did you know that Jesus appeared to over 500 people? It wasn't just those close people who said, oh, he's alive, I saw him. There was a lot of people that saw him. He's alive. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
He is alive. Revelations 1:18. Listen to this. And Jesus is talking. I am the one who lives. I was dead, but look, I'm alive forever. Just because we don't see him now doesn't mean like, oh, well, maybe he was alive and walked around then. No, he's alive forever. He said, I'm going to go up here and I'm going to go and prepare you a place. I'm going to go prepare all you a place. If you follow me, if you trust me and you love me, I'm going to go make something that's a lot better than what you're living in down here. But you got to do this time down here. And I already paid for it. Your ticket's already been paid for. Your rent's been paid. All you got to do is hold out. Trust me. And I got you a place and a mansion up here. That's what I'm looking forward to. And because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, Isaiah 1:18 is some truth. It says, come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be white like wool. So tonight, we're going to change the color of the cross.
Amen.
I'm sure you noticed when you walked in, you have all the white material. See, the cross didn't remain blood red. When he walked out of that grave, it became white as snow.
Amen.
Your sins do not exist any longer. He paid the price. Your debt's been paid. He assumed the cost. Roger? I didn't spend a whole lot of time down here because this might take a little bit. And so tonight, if you haven't made Jesus your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to do so. Come to this cross. Ask Him into your life. Turn your will and your life over to the care of Him. He's already paid the price. All you have to do is accept Him. That's like, I've bought you dinner. And all you have to do is show up and eat it. And then going, nah, I don't need that. I'm good. If somebody buys me dinner, I'm going to show up. It's already been paid for. Take this home with you. It's a little piece of red material. It's not much. You can use it as a Bible mark or hang it up somewhere. Hang it up somewhere where you see it. It reminds you of the price He paid. So you can have eternal life and live with Him in paradise. He'll come and take it. Thank you. think that's even better. The colors of the cross, colors on the cross. You have been made clean, white as snow, by the price He paid. Pray with me. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for all that You do for us every single day. My son, I'll be lost. God, you're not me. Lord, we love you. Bless this church. Bless the people. Bless the ones that are struggling. The ones that feel like they're in trouble right now. Presence in our life all the time. God, right now.